Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
TGIF. Thank God it's Friday and it's Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, and with the most debonair, the most suave and coolest of all co-hosts, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey.
Good afternoon, Annie. Glad to be here on this Friday, November the 9th, post-election syndrome show, and congratulations to you. Ladies and gentlemen, our show is not only featured, but I guess it's fair to say we're on billboards and electric signs all over the United States now. You go anywhere on the internet, you're going to find Southern Sense. Great job, Annie, as we are not only featured. I'll let Annie get into all those details about our show. But on top of that, everyone, Facebook, Twitter, our own individual website, we're going to be posting them to you in the chat room. And let me tell you, we are everywhere. We are in Michelle Obama's poontang. We are everywhere.
Oh, no.
You want to listen
you
to us?
You did not say that.
I sure did. You want to listen to Southern Sense and Common Sense and No Nonsense? It's very easy. Stitcher, Spreaker, we go on and on. But you can find us everywhere.
Yes.
Annie?
Putting up our website in the chat room as we speak. You can join it, and that way you get a glance at what we're going to be doing. We have a calendar up there so you know ahead of time what our shows are. We'll have people can put their blogs in there. It's a lot of fun stuff. Plus, we have T-shirts and coffee mugs and doggy blankets and lots of good, cool stuff with our logo on it. So take a look at our website, southernsense.webs.com. And, yes, I am proud to announce yesterday I found out that Blog Talk Radio has chosen us as a featured host. So now you'll see that little blue ribbon on all of our shows that are featured. So, hey, it's a lot of hard work. We are now number 6 out of 900 conservative shows. We are number 6. And one day we're going to make it back up to number 1. Well, man, a lot of hard work.
Well, it's more you're doing than mine, but yes, absolutely, my friends. And also, let us be the show to resonate to. I mean, we're the cutting edge of political, what's going on. Here it is first. Wow.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
I'm excited about today's show as well.
Yes, we're going to have a fantastic guest, the Hollywood producer Bettina Viviano, and some of you know her work. She worked with the Steven Spielberg. She was with the Robert Morris Agency, and some of her films, let me see if I can find some of them. It's like Back to the Future 2 and 3, Cape Fear, Land Before Time, Schindler's List, and one of my favorite, Roger Rabbit, Indiana Jones. She's had a very, very varied and wide career. She's worked with Adam Sandler and a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff.
Wow.
She's also been working on a film since 2008 involving voter fraud, and it's called We Will Not Be Silenced. 2008. I put the link up on there. They're trying to get this film finished, and I think this past election is going to give them more fuel for the fire on that film. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, and she joined us. I don't know if people remember the last time she was on. We talked about an issue similar to this, and I don't think Annie is saying that the election was rigged, et cetera, but last time she was our guest, she pointed to some things which I'm sure today she will point out again, and it's been a while, so she may have more information that we put out there for you to believe, not believe, listen to. But you can also call in, and don't forget that. Annie and I want you, a few more of you to call in, especially you BTR hosts. You know, Election Day was awesome. I basically made it to virtually all of the shows, at least for a little bit, before I headed out for to Bing's campaign headquarters. But it was really amazing. This was almost, in a lot of ways, just like September 11th, how everyone put so much into the show. And kudos to everyone. I mean, just... What a great job.
Yeah, I want to thank all the other BTR hosts that joined our lineup. We had Billy and Brenda from Women's Patriot. We had Jermaine. We had G. Ski Rocks. We had Dana Smearman. And we had Stefan Vandergast. The voice. So, yeah. All right, let's get...
Jermaine copped out, Annie. So on my way home from my Black Wednesday, I called a friend, and we did a show a half hour later, in absolute agony. But I dialed the number at like 11:33. It said no show scheduled. I'm like, where's Jermaine? But GGT and his wife are now expecting a third child.
Oh God,
so
bless.
He's pretty wrapped up in that. And on top of that, Jermaine went back to work. For many who knows, he worked for Lowe's for years. He now went to Home Depot.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, imagine that. Well, anyway, so he's been pretty busy with his world, and we wish him the very, very best. And eventually the three of us will get reunited, but, you know, everyone's just got to work out some life problems, you know, life issues and et cetera, et cetera. But with that being said, all right, Officer Eubulus. Wait a minute, you weren't Officer Eubulus when you were one of them, were you?
Yes. Yes. I went through three different names when I was a police officer. I was married to my first husband, and then I divorced him. I went to my maiden name, and I went from my maiden name to my now new married name. So, yes.
Okay. Well, before we do a dedication, what went wrong with your first husband?
A long story.
Okay. Second husband?
Everything's wonderful.
Okay. All right.
All right. Everyone that listens to the show knows we start each show off with a dedication to a fallen hero, and we have done everything from the Revolutionary War to the War on Terror. And today we're going to reach out to the Spanish-American War and to the Battle of San Juan Hill. And this goes out a dedication to Lieutenant Jules Ord of Michigan. He was an Army private and quartermaster in the 1st Army Infantry. He was killed on July 1st, 1898. And this is from the Arlington National Cemetery. Jules Garash Ord of Michigan, Army Private and Quartermaster Sergeant, 1st United States Infantry, 16th of August, 1877 to 9 November, 1890. He was a second lieutenant in the 18th United States Infantry on November 6, 1890. He then was promoted to first lieutenant on the 6th in the United States Infantry on the 7th of August, 1897. He was killed July 1, 1898 in the Battle of San Juan, Santiago, Cuba. A son of General E.O. Seward, he was born on September 9, 1866. He served in the Spanish-American War and as killed in action on July 1, 1898, and was reportedly the first American soldier up San Juan Hill in that famous action in which he died. He was first buried on the spot where he fell and was subsequently moved to Section 2 of Arlington National Cemetery, where he rests among many other family members. Lieutenant Jules Garage Ord of Hawkins' staff was remarked to a friend that he had come out of this battle either as a colonel or a corpse. Seeing the futility of remaining exposed to galling fire, he told Hawkins, "General, if you will order a charge, I will lead it." Ord's commander remembered the costly charges against an entrenched enemy during the Civil War. He said nothing. At about the same time, they heard the pounding of Parker's Gatlings. Ord again spoke up. "If you do not wish to order a charge, General, I should like to volunteer. May I volunteer? We can't stay here, can we?" The general replied, "I would not ask any man to volunteer." Ord returned, "If you do not forbid it, I will start it." Hawkins pounded the situation for a moment. He observed the impact of the Gatlings kicking up clouds of yellow dust in the Spanish entrenchments. The other two brigades were not yet in line. Undaunted by the silence, Ord again spoke up. "I only ask you not to refuse permission." Hawkins looked at this enthusiastic young officer. "I will not ask for volunteers. I will not give permission, and I will not refuse it," he said. "God bless you, and good luck." A smile flashed across the lieutenant's face. With pistol in one hand, sword in the other, he ran forward at a crouch, shouting, "Come on! Come on, you fellows! Come on! We can't stop here!" A spontaneous cry went up along the line. The waiting under fire was over. The men moved forward with Ord in the lead. Hawkins positioned himself between his two regiments and encouraged his men along the way. Lieutenant Jules Ord of the 6th Infantry Regiment was advancing and reached the top of the hill first when he was shot through the chin. Corporal Walker of D Troop saw Ord's killer and dispatched him in return, thus avenging the death of the first American to reach the top of the hill. Also during the assault on the heights, Captain Bigelow was wounded in action, and the leadership of his troop was taken over by Lieutenant Pershing. After securing the hill, the troop was used by General Sumner as a reserve. This is a dedication to Lieutenant Jules Garage Ord, who was killed in action July 1, 1898, and to him and to all men and women who are our heroes and who have fallen, we dedicate to you My Name is America by Todd L. Harrington.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. My name is America. I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames, and I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. For those who need me, I'll always be here. For those who will harm me, I'll face without fear. But I'll
that's My Name is America by Todd Allen Herndon, and you can find that song up on his website. Todd Allen has his own website. Just Google My Name is America and Todd Allen, and you can download it for free. And we have a special guest today, and she is returning now for the third time, three times a charm, our Hollywood producer, Bettina Viviano. Good afternoon, Bettina.
Hi, how are you?
All right. You sound a little tired.
A little tired. Well, I'm still getting over what happened, so it's going to take a while.
All right. Are you still working on that film, I Will Not Be Silenced?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I am. I think my partner, you know, needs a little nudge to finish it, but, you know, I'd like to finish it and get it out there, especially considering that I think we saw an awful lot of voter fraud last week, so.
You mean this past Tuesday?
Tuesday, yeah.
Seems like a week ago already.
I know. Well, it's Friday. Yeah.
Thank God. All right. Do you want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, I've been in the film business since I was 19 years old, and I really just was never political, had just made movies. I've worked for Spielberg 5 years. I've been an agent, a manager, a producer, made a bunch of movies. You know, lived in liberal Hollywood, but never really paid that much attention to it. Just went about my business and had a great life and, you know, was going along. And then in 2008, somebody from the Hillary Clinton campaign called one of my writer-director clients and best friend and asked if we wanted to make a documentary about voter fraud in the Democratic primary. And, you know, I thought, well, why would we want to do that? Who cares about that? And I really wasn't that interested in doing it. And then I just said yes for some reason. And then for the past 4.5 years, you know, after we started doing the research for the documentary and, of course, what had been done to Hillary, which was the most unbelievable, horrible fraud I've ever seen in my life, you know, got incredibly involved in the political stuff and started spending as much time balancing my work and making movies and then trying to get this documentary finished and being involved in politics. And, you know, it's been a whirlwind. I thought for sure we were going to have a much different outcome on Tuesday, and we didn't. And so it's back to work because that's a big problem, what just happened. That's a really big problem. So that's where I am. I, you know, have offices and a company in Beverly Hills and live in the Hollywood Hills with my two dogs and, you know, try to do both. Try to stay as much as I can involved in politics because I think this was just a tipping point for our country. We really just turned a huge corner. So that's that.
Yeah, I know a lot of people I've been talking to the day after the election, everyone was in such a dark think. But now, you know, I think we're starting to get energized. We see what went wrong. And I guess the midterm elections will be our next goalpost. We may have lost the battle, but I don't think we have lost the war. And I was checking some of the voter fraud that I was talking about on our show on Tuesday, and not very many people are reporting any of it.
Oh, my God, between the military ballots alone would have had Romney win. I mean, he only lost by 300,000 or 350,000 votes, if that's the case. And, you know, they have reported those machines, and one in five people in Ohio was supposedly fraudulent. Look, after what I saw in 2008, I have never believed we would ever have a fair election again. And I would like to ask people who think this was for real, then how did Obama get 2,000 people at a rally when Romney had 15,000? And how was Republican voter registration higher than it's been in the history of the Republican Party? Party identity was the highest it's ever been in our history as a country. How did then he win? There's so many things wrong with this that I can't, you know, and now all of a sudden everybody's saying, well, the whole reason is that Republicans don't promise welfare and amnesty and free cars and houses to Hispanics. Well, we have to buy votes as a country now. So in other words, if we don't go out and pander and break the law, which is there for a reason, if we don't do that, we'll never win another election. I can't believe that is the truth.
I agree with you. There seems to be a disparity. If we had the highest voter registration ever, how did we have the lowest turnout?
No, it's not possible. The numbers just do not add up at all. You know, there's nothing we can do about it because if you ask, you know, unfortunately, asking this president to obey the law and the Constitution is racist. So he is allowed to do anything he wants. He can continue his path of destruction, which is intentional, and you can't open your mouth about it. The GOP is not going to touch him. They're going to let him do whatever he wants from now on, and it's done. I mean, he's going to sign. If people thought the first 4 years were bad while he was still campaigning, there you just watch and see what he does now, that he doesn't have to pander to people.
I think we know what he's going to do. It's just a matter of it now taking place. We all knew what was coming in the second term. I mean, I'd go as far as to say I don't think Blog Talk Radio will be around in 4 years either.
Well, I'll be lucky if it's here in a month. I mean, you know, he's going to turn us over to the UN and the guns and the internet and everything else are going to go. I mean, he's already surrendered us to the UN. People just don't know it. I mean, he did that in the first term. But, you know, the problem really is, and you know, maybe this is a good thing. I honestly think, you know, I did not come on here to be a drag, but there is no silver lining here. There is none. We lost Alan West. We lost Mia Love. You know, I think they definitely targeted our black Republicans on purpose so they can continue to call us racist. You know, if we elect black people, then what are they going to do? They run on the GOP being racist, which is a filthy, dirty, disgusting lie that makes me absolutely sick every day of my life because I don't know anybody in our party that's a racist or I wouldn't be in it. And I just have never seen any of it. And if they win by perpetuating that we are racist, we hate Hispanics, we hate blacks, and you know, they can't win without doing that. And to accuse Mitt Romney of that was embarrassing for this country. You know, but it's the only way they win. And I would love for you guys to tell me what good is going to come of this. In the midterms, yeah, you know, we can go back in, you know, take – the senators are only up every 6 years, so it's not like we get them every time. We already control the House, so who cares? By a big margin. So what do we get? Harry Reid's not up for 4 years, so we got stuck with him for six. What are we going to do? I mean, we have to come up with a solution. It may not. It may turn the stomach of a lot of people, but what we're doing isn't working because the machine they have, we don't play dirty. Conservatives don't commit voter fraud. We don't go out and we don't cheat and we don't lie and we don't steal.
Yeah, of course.
But they do because their moral relativity tells them it's okay to commit voter fraud because it's for the bigger good. It's okay to lie about people. It's okay for the media to cover for this man who, he's a two-bit criminal. I mean, anybody else would be in jail for Benghazi already, never mind Fast and Furious. This is a man who's murdered 300 Mexicans, a Border Patrol agent. Now he's taken out an ambassador and three other people, and nobody cares. Nobody cares. Those lives were worth nothing, absolutely nothing. That's the country we've become. How do we change it now? We didn't change it playing fair. We didn't change it being American. We didn't change it by going out and having a wonderful man who would have been an incredible president for everybody. He wouldn't have just been a president for rich people. He's a compassionate, caring man who's done more to help the poor and suffering than Obama ever has or ever will. And we couldn't get him elected. So what do we do? I mean, it's really time to regroup and do something else because we can't have fair elections. The media is constantly going to lie and smear every Republican or conservative candidate. They've been lying about the Tea Party. I mean, I have friends out in Hollywood where I just try to discuss what happened, and the first words out of their mouth, well, you Tea Party racists and extremists. I'm not extreme. I'm one of the more moderate people. And yet, you know, the media has convinced everyone that if you disagree with Obama and the Democrats, you're a far-right, religious, you know, talking in tongues with a rattlesnake around your neck lunatic.
Absolutely.
And so we have to change the media. People need to get guts. If you're going to complain about the media, then don't complain about them if you turn them on and you give them your money and your revenue. You really want to hit the media where it hurts, you shut them down. Stop going to movies and stop turning on the TV. And I'm saying that and I'm in the business. But, you know, George Clooney and Bruce Springsteen and Jay-Z are, you know, pop culture idols that people listen to. And they don't know what's going on. They go home to their $50 million mansions behind a gate and come out to support this guy, and they don't realize that this morning 350,000 new people filed unemployment today. New. This isn't even the people that have been out of work for years already because of Obama. These are the new ones, and I'm sure you've already seen all the layoffs. 50 companies already from Pepsi, Boeing, every coal company. It just started already, the layoffs. And when January hits and Obamacare and the taxes and the Bush tax cuts expire, the whole country's going to go dark. This is serious. This is not hyperbolic or party rhetoric or anything else. This is a very serious time for us now. This is America going dark totally. And I'm scared to death, to tell you the truth.
No, I agree with you on that. I would say that I find it amazing that every time you try to open your mouth as a conservative to a liberal, you hear the racist, you hear the fascist, you hear everything. And the more they hurl names at us, we as a tendency tend to like shut down and just not even want to fight. But I think it's time that we end up taking the gloves off and fight back.
Well, that's just it, you know, and that's what the problem with the Republican Party, not us, because we're willing to fight, but the Boehners and the people that have been in those jobs forever who really couldn't care less other than keeping their jobs, they have to go too. I mean, you know, we talked about it all the time about rebuilding the government from the ground up, but there's 435 people in Congress that couldn't care less about any of it. You know, I'm sure there's one or two people that are going to say, sure, I have a great rep, you know, blah, blah, blah. But as a whole, we couldn't even hold on to Alan West, who deserves to be president more than Obama does, who's a better person, a more intelligent person, a member of the military, who's got it all over Obama on foreign policy and everything, and the Mideast and the problem with radical Islam. That guy should have been in the White House, not Obama. I was thrilled to have a black president, but not the one we have, you know, and it's like, when do we win the battle on being honest and telling the truth and presenting facts? Unemployment is never going to go down now. This is the norm. We're going to be lucky at 8%, which it isn't even 8% anyway. It's more like 30. So how do we win the battle now? We tried being honest. We tried being enthusiastic. We tried putting up a good man. There was nothing to smear Romney on. He's led an exemplary life as a church, as a father, as a husband. They couldn't find anything on this guy. They couldn't. There was nothing to find. He's been vetted as a candidate, already been a governor. You know, if anything, people were whining he was too moderate. We can't even get that elected. So if we can't win on truth, we can't win on honesty, we can't win on fact that, you know, welfare skyrocketed, food stamps have gone up 75%, unemployment is going to explode, as we know now, again. What do we win on? I'm just curious. I don't have an answer. And I'm not willing to give up fighting. We're not going to win being good people. Good people doesn't work anymore. Sorry. I mean, it's time to take the gloves off.
All right, we got someone in the chat room. Her name is Jessie, and she's got a website called Unite the Vote. And her suggestion is that you and she hook up, because she said we can win with a better marketing plan. You have the creative talent and resources. So maybe something like that should happen. You know, get someone like you who hooks up with one of these websites that is looking to make the electoral process a lot more honest and getting some of the viciousness out of there and allow us to be part of the electoral process.
Well, here's my guess. I mean, and I would be, you're welcome to give her all my information. She can call me. I mean, I'll talk to anybody at this point about what to do. I mean, like I said, I'm not giving up the fight. But what people have to understand is that this has been a massive infiltration over decades of our schools and our communication. That's how they win, is the information war. Because if you can't get the truth in the media, if we have an ignorant, dumbed-down electorate, because whenever they turn on the news, they don't hear the truth about how – I mean, Obama's the worst president in probably world history. He's as bad as Chavez and Castro. I mean, he's a disaster. And he got reelected. Not necessarily because, you know, Americans – I honestly don't believe, and maybe this is naive, I do not believe that the majority of Americans want to lay on their butts all day collecting welfare checks. I don't believe that. I believe most people want a job. I believe most people don't know the truth about this president because it's been hidden by the media. They are our biggest enemy. They are the enemy of truth, fact, knowledge. They keep people stupid, and it's intentional. Had they told the truth about Libya, this man would be impeached. There's no question. And that means on both sides, even in both chambers. I believe that there's honest Democrat senators who would do the right thing. But they just covered it up and went on about their business. And, you know, I mean, Nixon had Watergate and nobody died. This is a million times worse. And yet this is the country we've become, that this is okay. For Obama to go party and get drunk in Vegas with Beyonce after he watched an ambassador be murdered and knew it. And knew it wasn't about a video. He had a private citizen who made a YouTube video that had nothing to do with any of this, and he knew it. He had that man arrested and put in jail. The man's been in jail for how long? I mean, a private citizen was used as a fall guy for a bad president. We know what happened now with Benghazi. We know 7 hours when of being attacked, when 55 minutes into it, Obama knew exactly what it was. He refused to let the drone be used. He refused to let the people that had the target site use their weapons. He could have brought people from Italy. We know he could have done a number of things to save the lives of 4 American citizens, and yet he didn't. He told them to stand down. That is called treason, and yet it will never go anywhere. So I think people should start taking this stuff seriously. He's going to do it again. How many American people have to die before people rise up and say, this can't happen anymore?
Let's hope we start rising up. We do have a caller coming in. He's another BTR host, Thomas. Thomas, you have a quick question?
Actually, I have a comment. Hi, Bettina. I was listening to you last time you was on any show, and I wanted just to share with you and all the listeners something that is coming down the pipeline in a form of protest, actually. One of my friends, who also is a listener of this show, Octavius O'Neill, he made a suggestion, and we're going to run with this. April tax day, and most of the time, everyone tries to get their taxes in before the deadline. But what we are proposing, and we're going to be pushing this, is that as a form of protest, that millions of Americans who are disgruntled wait till that April 15th deadline to file their taxes, just to overload the system and frustrate the hell out of them. And, you know, basically what we've decided to do since they, you know, with their all the drama that went down, we're going to take legal forms where we're protected by law, and we're going to use those, we're going to use the system as a protest. We're going to hurt them in their pocketbooks. So just wanted to share that.
Thanks, Thomas.
Well,
how do you like that?
You know, look, I think everybody should quit paying taxes. I mean, what are they going to do, put, you know, millions of people in jail? I mean, look, you know, I don't mean to sound radical. Actually, you know, being on the show, you know, 4 days after this happened, I mean, I'm in a bad mood. I will tell you that. I honestly did not see this coming. I thought 100% Romney would win. I thought there was I actually thought it was going to be the biggest landslide in history. I just had more faith in the system, which I think is incredibly full of fraud, and more faith in American people, that they cared for each other more than they cared about free abortion and free condoms. I mean, if I never have to hear their horrible, godless abortion, vaginas, condoms, I mean, the ads that were coming out, the thing with the virginity, losing, you know, would you rather lose your virginity to Romney or Obama? I mean, Romney and Obama both being married men and with children, that just was so tawdry to me and so disgraceful. And so there's a morality issue in our country, too, that's gone completely off the charts. You know, watching their convention was breathtaking, you know, anti-Israel, anti-God, anti-common sense on top of it all. So, you know, it's a bigger battle than just, oops, we lost an election. Well, we'll wait another 4 years, you know, and it's going to be bad, but we'll get through it. You know, I don't see it that way. I think it's a lot worse than it's going to be bad, but you know, I mean, if we're already only 48 hours into this, people started laying off, 50 companies already laying people off. What are those people going to do? What are those people going to do?
And this is all just before Christmas, too. What a time to do it.
Before Christmas. And not only is it the layoffs, which is horrible, but now, you know, a lot of companies have figured out that they can just employ people part-time and give them part-time hours so they don't have to have Obamacare. And so a lot of the permanent workforce will be shifted into part-time work, and that doesn't feed a family either. So what do we do? This is four more years of this. And there's not enough money. See, Democrats aren't very bright people. They're emotional, but they're not smart. And they don't realize, they keep thinking, no, they're dumb. They're stupid people. I mean, they just are. Look what they just did. They keep thinking if you just take money from other people, you can fund all their food stamps and buying votes with, you know, giving everybody free cell phones and free food stamps and welfare and health care. The thing is, if you taxed every wealthy person in this country, Obama's, you know, kill off all the wealth tax would fund, I think they said, not even a week of his spending. Not even a week. If you took all the money that these people make and gave it to Obama, he'd spend it in a week. Then what? Then who pays for everybody on welfare? Then who pays for all of the unemployment benefits and the food stamps? Who's going to pay for this? Does anybody know? Because I don't.
No, and I try to explain it to a lot of people. It's like a snake eating itself. It'll start it on the tail, but eventually it's going to come back in around on its head. It will. There's no way. There's no way that you have enough to feed the kitty. Not enough. And no one seems to understand that, but instead they want more benefits. They want expansion of programs. Even Charles Krauthammer, I heard the other day, made me shake the head, offering amnesty for illegal immigrants. Didn't Reagan try that, and it was a massive disaster?
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, Reagan was amazing, but he made two mistakes. One was the amnesty, which was never meant to – it was a fluke, I guess, what happened when he did it, because it wasn't meant to blow up and bring in 3 million or – how many – was it 25 million? I don't remember how many – people he gave amnesty to, but whatever he did was supposed to be like a nice thing, and it ended up through some loophole or thing in the law, and all of a sudden everybody has amnesty. That was not considered a good thing of Reagan's. That was considered a mistake, and the other mistake was abortion on demand in California when he was a governor. Other than that, he was great. They make mistakes. That's fine. But now all of a sudden, conservatives are running around with like chickens with their heads cut off, thinking that we lost because of Hispanics. So in other words, now in order for us to win an election, even the conservatives like Sean Hannity and now Krauthammer are saying, okay, Obama's going to open the borders anyway. He is, you know, Soros's puppet. Soros has the Open Border Society. Soros and all these lunatics don't think there should be any borders anywhere in the world, although I'd like for them to try to tell North Korea that. So now we open the borders, and I live in California, and I can tell you what a joy this is. And everybody comes here, and everybody that comes here gets amnesty and welfare and free houses and free cars and free health care and free everything else. What's left? Where does everyone go? I mean, you know, no one can stay here with that life. We can't afford it. We can't fund all of his bought and paid for illegal voters. We don't have the money to fund this. So
one of the
why
now, one of the no, go ahead, finish.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say the biggest problem with all of this is that listen to ourselves talk. Is that the problem is we are the problem. We're looking to the Republicans to help us. They're as tied in as anyone. They're a country club. Has to come from we the people. We need to take the declaration in our hand and make ourselves the signatories of that. And we ourselves have to take it back. It's not coming from the Democrats. It's not coming from the Republicans. As Judge Napolitano said when Thomas Jefferson showed everyone the declaration, a third of the people were pissed off because they wanted to stay with the king, which would be Obama. A third didn't even care which way this country went. And it's going to take that other third, regardless of Republicans or Democrats, we need to trample all of them and reestablish ourselves as a constitution. And we have to do it. We can't look for any party to do it. but the true American people. Because if you really even think about it, some of these third parties are they're like complete whack jobs. I have great respect for third parties. I mean, I think it's terrific, but some of them are like insane. It's almost like literally some of their ideas are just really crazy. But if we're going to get back to the Declaration first and foremost, it's going to come from we the people. It's not going to come from any political party, because if you really think about it, the feds, with the lock on everything now, are at the federal level. They're gaining control of the states. They're putting governors in place that will just be the puppets of the federal government and not fight the federal government, which was originally the document supposed to be, that governors, that states controlled the federal government.
Yeah.
And it's just not happening.
You've got that right. There's a 10th Amendment groups out there that are starting to gain momentum. Jessie has a petition that she's been putting up in the chat room. It's on OC2Network.com, and it's how to end the partisan divide, which when you sign it, you are reaffirming the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. These movements are starting to gain ground, and I think you may find something growing out of the Tea Party where you will find a strong third party to challenge Republicans and make them go the way of the Whig Party.
Well, let me tell you what I think about the third party thing. You know, I actually think the biggest mistake for the Tea Party was that they didn't and probably couldn't become a real political party. And I mean by having funding and infrastructures to run elections, put people up, fund them. I mean, this is a new grassroots movement. But let's keep in mind that there was one big Tea Party group. There's a Tea Party Patriots, Tea Party, I forget which one it is. I think it's the one that has the new TV thing going on. Flat out said, under no circumstances will we endorse Romney. And so you know those were the Gary Johnson voters and the Ron Paul voters. Now, the thing is, I'm all for people voting for who they want to vote for. But in this particular election, it was really a lot. We needed unity. And Gary Johnson got 1 million votes. Romney lost by 350,000 votes. How do we explain that? That all these people that stood their ground, they're better than everyone else. They have morals. They have principles. They're not going to vote for the rhino. So they got Obama reelected. I mean, how do we deal with that?
I don't know.
Those million votes could have gone to Romney.
I don't know. And I had two friends of mine I saw the other day, and they were complaining that Obama was elected. And I looked at them and I said, you didn't vote, did you? And they're not young kids. These are guys that, you know, have grandchildren. And they said, no, they didn't vote. Like, why? They just shook their shoulders and said, we didn't vote. What's the point? Why even complain when you don't even participate in the process?
Well, that's very true. That's Annie, you bring up a good point, but I have to disagree with the guest. The Republican Party has done everything to force people to not vote for them. And if you look in my state of Michigan, and the Republican Party believes that a 7-Eleven grocery store convenience store is endowed by its creator. And you can't expect people who are strong constitutionalists that believe in the Declaration to sacrifice their vote. Their vote means more than anything. The Republican Party itself has basically not imploded, but it's run by fat cats that really don't care about anyone except themselves. And the bottom
right,
line
except
is
for, you know what, that really great principle of not voting for Romney got you, literally cost you, whoever did it, whoever's out there that stood on their principles and they were better than everyone else and smarter than everyone else because the Republicans suck, those people that got Obama reelected, I want to see how they feel in 4 years because our country's gone now. It's done. I want everyone to know it's over. We're done. We had one last chance. Obama was put there to destroy this country. I know that for a fact out of very large mouths in the Democratic Party. I mean, people no one here can get in the rooms with. His mission is to take this country down. And so if you can't elect a guy that maybe you don't agree with on abortion or gay marriage, or, you know, maybe you think's a little wishy-washy. So in other words, you purposely, your protest vote was, let's get Obama reelected. Let's show everybody we're better and smarter than everyone else. Good for you. You cost us your country. I don't care.
To blame it on that is outrageous. The bottom line is Mitt Romney and Barack Obama were very similar in many ways. You're basically saying that somehow we.
Obama and Romney are not similar in any ways. Obama is a Muslim. Romney's a Mormon. Obama has nothing in common with America. If you did see 2016, you understand that he holds this country in the highest of contempt. Romney loves this country. No matter what, he loves America and he loves Americans. Obama has no love for us, none. In fact, I agree. I don't argue that point. Okay, so instead of electing a guy who loves his country, has a business background, and has a background that understands how economies work, and how, if he would have been elected in 48 hours, as opposed to all of the companies shutting down and laying people off, those companies were waiting for the decision. They were waiting to see what would happen, because then they could hire people again. We would have had an economic boom in 24 hours if Romney would have been elected. There would have been a grown-up running the show, and within 24 hours, business would have been comfortable. He would have done what he could to repeal Obamacare, everything else. He's got nothing in common with Obama, nothing. They have nothing in common. And as far as what he would have done with abortion or gay marriage or whatever that stuff is, I don't care. I don't care because, you know, all the free abortions in the world don't matter if you don't have a job and your child is dying because you can't feed it.
No, Bettina, so, you have a perfect point there. We got a caller. Let me bring this caller in on the line. Area code 902, you're on the air live. Who am I speaking to?
You're actually speaking to Hitler, and I support abortions for Jews only.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day and go away. Sorry about that. You know you're doing something right when a troll calls in and tries to attack the show. That means that you have the correct point, and they have no defense in their argument. You know.
That's what they do. I mean, you can tell it's a troll when they absolutely do not address an issue. By the way, another thing about Romney, first of all, I was one of the people at the beginning that said I wasn't going to vote for him because I was a Rick Perry supporter. I'm from Texas. My mother lived there. And the truth is, he would have been the best president. He made mistakes. He had back surgery. He had these oops moments. People thought he was stupid, which is kind of interesting because he's got the only successful state in the country. But then I listened to Romney. Then I actually acted like an adult. Instead of pissing nails and spitting at everybody, I said, well, you know what? I did a documentary about Obama. I know he's a criminal and a thug out of the sewer. I know this man is intentionally destroying my country and hates me and hates my fellow countrymen, hates white people, hates Christians, hates Jews. His biggest hope in life is that Iran blows Israel off the planet. And so I decided I'm going to put on my big girl panty and I'm going to listen to Romney. I'm going to give him a chance. I'm going to go deep into his background and see what kind of man he's been and how he's lived his life. I couldn't find any reason not to vote for him. The thing that he's like Obama, in what sense? Exactly how is he like Obama? A man who wasn't even raised in this country, has no love of Americans, can't stand Americans. He's the biggest racist ever put on the planet. How's that similar? I'm just curious. Romney's father marched for civil rights.
Yeah,
Romney's father,
true.
I mean.
Well, okay, well, wait a minute. You asked a question. Let me throw that out to you. It's called the NDAA. It's called the Patriot Act. It's called FEMA camps. What do you know about Romney involved in FEMA camps? That his company built
it? Oh, for God's sake.
Of course
now we're
not.
Getting
oh,
into the tinfoil stuff. Yeah, Romney
well,
was
we're not
really
getting
going to
tinfoil.
Everybody
you just
up.
Asked me.
Yeah,
oh, you
Romney
just asked
has
me
really
experience.
Where was Romney going to round up everything? Now we're making crap up
I said
about
who
Romney.
Built the FEMA camp.
Yeah. Well, we're making things up.
They're not
Romney,
making them up.
If you actually think Mitt Romney would round people up, American citizens, and put them in FEMA camps, have you lost your mind?
I must have, considering
there
he had...
There's absolutely no proof whatsoever Romney would round people up and put them in FEMA camps. For what?
There's no proof Barack Obama would do it either. But they're there, aren't
please.
They?
Well,
who built the FEMA camps? Who built
Obama
the FEMA camps?
Well,
the FEMA camps. The FEMA camps were built before you even voted. George Bush built them.
All right.
Yeah, George Bush built them.
They're there.
Ding, 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 ding. Back to your corners. Back to your corners.
Neutral corners. Romney is Romney some savior? Romney was a decent candidate at that.
No, Romney's not some savior. We had a choice of stopping the bleeding and hemorrhaging of this country. No one said there's any savior. Do I think Rick Perry would have been a great president? I read his book, Fed Up. You want to talk about states' rights and somebody that knows the Constitution inside and out? There you go. But we weren't ready to elect a real conservative. We did get Romney fairly shoved down our throats. I will give you that. But the choice still was the worst president. Do you think Romney would have sat there and watched an ambassador get murdered and then go drink with Beyonce?
No, I voted
Vegas
for Romney.
And act like nothing ever happened?
No, I don't. I voted for Romney, but I don't think that it almost doesn't matter at this point. This idea that employment now would be at 4% because we elected Romney, I don't think so. This is being controlled.
No, I didn't say it would be 4%. Here's part of the thing in this country is emotion. Everybody knows what's coming with Obamacare. In January, all of Obama's tax hikes, Obamacare happens. And on top of that, now he's talking about taxing people more. And the great unknown is how bad Obamacare is going to hit everybody. And it's going to be horrible. Then they let the Bush tax cuts expire, which, by the way, the Bush tax cuts helped the middle class. He's going to let that happen. And on top of it all, you know, here we come with, people who have businesses, they don't know. But emotionally, they were sitting around waiting to see what would happen. I'm one of them. I don't know what's going to happen to me, my mother. I know what's going to happen to my mother with Obamacare. It's going to kill her. I know that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bettina, because I know there is rationing.
It's going to kill all of us eventually. I mean, this is what we voted for. This is people. You know, it's kind of like in Nuremberg. Just follow line and don't ask questions. And that's people. I mean, that is us.
Mike, we got a caller on the line. Let me bring this person in who's been holding rather patiently. Area code 702, you're on the air live with Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to?
It's me. It's Jesse Weeks with Unite the Vote.
Hey,
I love
Jesse.
This show. I love Bettina's energy. And, you know, I hear the anger, I hear the angst, and I hear it everywhere I go. And, you know, my banner is, okay, yes, we're upset. Yes, we should have all stood behind Romney. Romney was not my first choice either. But this was not about voting for a man this election. This was about voting for a country and a future. And a lot of things have happened that have been mentioned, you know, Bettina brought up, you know, about the fraud and the corruption and all of that stuff. But I just wanted to jump in and say, you know, this is a time, you know, we can't give up. We can't. I mean, what choice do we have? Just to sit back and let everything slide? Or can we stand? And how do we stand? Do we become like the liberals and lie and cheat and slander and behave like that? No, because that's not who we are. What we can do, I think, though, is start today, start now. I started yesterday. And that was, you know, we can start to take martial arts, you know, something I've studied. And there's a concept that you use your opponent's energy against them. Okay, all of the things that have been talked about, yes, they're coming. Obamacare is coming. Disaster is incoming. Unemployment is coming. A lot of things are coming. And we need to stand firm with our principles and our country and use the opportunity to say, you know what? You know, you're out of a job. This is what we voted for as a country. We should have voted the other way. There's so many things that we can do. And Bettina, I cannot imagine that a person that is creative and as talented and resourceful as you obviously are, you know, to channel the energies in this positive way, I don't think it's over yet. Yes, it is a huge blow. And we are at war. But we've, you know, there's got to be a time period when we get over the shock and stuff. And we get down to work. One of the things I think that, you know, we're all responsible for this is that we the people have stood down, we've been quiet, we haven't participated, you know, in any great majority during the time between elections. Not all of us, I mean, only half of us even show up to vote anyway. And we're allowing mainstream media to go on. And, you know, there was some talk earlier. Anyway, I don't want to take up too much time, but I just want to say, don't give up. We can do it. And please do, everyone, go to the link
your,
and sign the
petition.
Petition?
Why don't you give it to us now?
Yeah, well, I put the link up. Actually, you can just go to OC2Network.com. There's a link on the first page. Tomorrow we open up with our community, our country. A group of us have been working together, and it's a bipartisan or a nonpartisan effort. It's just about American values, as so beautifully described in the Declaration of Independence and the framework, which is our Constitution, to protect those rights. I mean, Bettina was mentioning that, you know, in education and information, kids in schools have been learning that the Declaration and the Constitution are historically relevant. That's all, not applicable to today. Most Americans feel like the Bill of Rights is something that the government grants us. They, you know, and I'm there screaming. I'm like, forget about that. The Bill of Rights is not telling us what we can do. It tells the government what they cannot do. This was the essence of the beginning. The American public has forgotten about this. We've been weaned off of this very, you know, idea of what we've been given. We've gotten too lazy. The difference from this election, from 2008, from 2004, from 2000, you know, all the way back, the difference now can be that if we the people finally get engaged during the more important time, and that is between elections, when the real work is actually being done. You know, along the way toward, you know, the next elections, we'll be building a groundwork. But this is, you know, the way I kind of feel is that's what's been missing. We the people have been missing in the whole governance of our country for the large part. So the petition, I kind of put it the conservative I am without, with a little bit of, you know, demeanor, you know, and character. The page is entitled How to End the Partisan Divide. And, you know, basically it's that, you know, with the common ground is the Constitution. The petition is a simple first step. It doesn't fix any one thing in particular, but it creates awareness that, hey, the Constitution is the common foundation that's supposed to be for all political parties. We know, you know, I feel strongly that Obama is not on board with the Constitution. He'd like to undo it. He's even said so. He's even complained that the founders made it so difficult to change the Constitution. We the people need to stand with this, and, you know, so that's what the position is about. Preserve and protect our Constitution. It's just a quick little thing, but it's an easy thing for people to get involved.
I have just signed up.
Oh, good.
And, you know, I think where we've lost focus, one of the reasons the Declaration is so lost in this, because both parties have ballooned to such socialism. Obama way, who, without a doubt, if I were to argue Obama doesn't hate America, I would lose. All of his policies simply indicate he hates America beyond what we could imagine, and we've reelected him. But the problem is both parties have absorbed, but the reason they ignore the Declaration is because the Declaration is the most important document written, because it's written by we, by the people who can overthrow the government, who can remove them. It's written, and they don't want people. It's no different than why you don't want people organized in a socialist or communistic society. because the power of
then
two.
Then why don't we overthrow them? Why aren't we doing that? Here's the thing.
Well, we just reelected them.
Well, here's the thing. I think this nonpartisan thing is crap. No offense. I don't want anything to do with anybody registered as a Democrat, and I don't want a liberal anywhere in my life. I don't want to speak to them. They do not believe what we believe. They do not believe in the Constitution. They hate it. They hate the Declaration. The people that have become registered as the Democratic Party was overtaken. Okay? They're not JFK Democrats anymore. Those are gone. Their party was taken over by the most radical, extremist of the far left. That was part of the battle between the Clintons and the Obamas in 2008. The Clinton wing of the Democratic Party, the Obama wing with the Reeds and the Pelosi's. These people are so far off the charts to the left. They're not coming back just because we ask them nicely, could you please take a look at this thing called the Constitution? They know what the Constitution is. They're systematically trying to undo it. That is
you're right. Am I still
goal.
On?
Yeah, you're still on, Jesse.
And I agree. I agree with you at that point. Even if I wanted to argue with you, you can't. But go ahead, Jesse. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I agree that the Democratic Party has been taken over by progressives, and this is anti-American progressives. I agree. You know, it's been insidious, it's been in progress, but I think that I'm very careful not to say all Democrats are like that, because I spent the last, like, couple months talking to women's groups that are Democrats, and let me tell you, these women did not vote for Obama because they are fiscally conservative, constitution-loving, gun-toting Democrats. And they don't even want
to
hang out with their own kind.
Then they need to leave their party. I mean,
I think they're going to.
I'm in email groups. When the thing happened, and I don't know how many people remember what happened in 2008 with Hillary and Obama, but by all accounts, whether it was the popular vote or the delegates, Hillary Clinton won. Now, I am not a Clinton supporter of either one of them, but I believe in fair elections. Okay? If she won, she should have had it. And we proved with our documentary exactly how many delegates Obama stole from her. We saw Acorn. I have to tell you, the way they stole that primary from Hillary was like a Swiss watch.
It was wrong.
You have to understand what you're fighting, okay? You are fighting Acorn, which is nothing but a crime organization. And Obama is Acorn. And I'll tell you who I quoted with that, David Horowitz, who I think is one of the smartest people in the world. He's in the video that True the Vote, Katherine Engelbrecht, produced. He did a video for her where his words out of his mouth are, Obama is Acorn. He was a community organizer. He's behind Motor Voter, Get Out the Vote, Acorn, all the fraud. And I watched the Obama campaign in action with Acorn, with the New Black Panther Party, and the help of the DNC, which is, to me, the DNC is a crime family, too. I watched them take this away from Hillary. Who thought it was going to get any better? And at that time, millions of people left the Democratic Party. I am friends with because of what happened. I'm in email groups across the country. I've never met most of these people. I've only met one of them. They were all Hillary supporters. They were all Democrats, and they left the party. And if you have any self-respect or dignity, you get out of that party. I don't care if you become an independent. You don't have to become a Republican. You don't even have to don't even register for a while. But that party is symbolic now of the most – look at their convention. People
that was
all
awful.
Over the world
that was awful.
Watching that convention, and it was a clown show, and it was a slap in the face of every bit of morality, dignity, class, and everything that this country was founded on. They spent their entire convention pissing it down the toilet. Because they think it's cute and funny. They're immature little children.
Well, maybe that's part of what we have to do right now is in the education. That's one step and say, hey, Dems, if you're for the Constitution, you know, can't you figure out that it's time for you to give up that party? You need to leave that party. Maybe that's one of the campaigns that we need to put out there to say, look, you know, get out.
Jesse,
maybe we need to work.
That's a good idea. But we got another caller in on the line that's been holding so patiently. Christopher, you're
okay,
on the air
live.
Okay,
I'll hang up. Thank you.
No. Oh.
Hi. I'm from Britain, and I don't really understand why Republicans are so against Obamacare. I wonder if you can tell me anything about that.
Because it was a bill that was passed without anyone actually reading it. It's a bill that's going to increase the taxes per individual $4,000 a year, which yeah. I can't afford. I don't know about you. It actually has in it several places where it rations care based upon the person's age and racially. It involves in allowing more of unions, such as SEIU, which is a criminal organization, to have participation in it. It restricts how much doctors may or may not be paid. And in the end, I would say in the first year, we're going to lose about 40% of our doctors from the medical practice.
Yeah.
And we're already at a doctor shortage. There are other ways that we could have done Medi-Cal reform, but this bill is a huge mistake. It violates our Constitution in at least, I found, 15 different areas.
Mm.
And it's a mess. It's not going to help
anybody. Nobody's going to wake up tomorrow morning and they just get free lollipop. I mean, did the DHS work in England? No. No, but it's modeled on the DHS. I mean, we already had Medicare and Medicaid. We already took care of people. We already did that. And they're all bankrupt because they've been run by the government. Obama just took $716 billion out of Medicare. My mother is 83 years old in March. She's done the right thing her whole life. She's paid into the system. She pays her taxes. She's been a good person. She did what the government told her to do. She's paid for everything. And Obama just took $716 billion away from her.
Okay,
and she's been told already her doctor isn't going to take Medicare patients anymore. She's going to have her care rationed. If you go to the hospital and they don't have approval in the middle of the night for you to have certain surgeries that the
It seems to work in England quite a lot. The taxes, people pay them, everybody gets the health care. So why in America can't that same system be implemented? It was done 60 years ago. So I think it might be time for America to capture.
We do have it. It's called Medicaid.
Hang on a second, everyone. My friend, I can understand where you're coming from, and it makes sense. However, in the United States, we have a constitution that is above.
Niggas.
Yeah, well, it's basically, and that's but that's true. Bottom line is, I'm a constitutionalist, and I believe even if it could run perfectly. Say they ran it, and Bettina's mother was taken care of great. My mother was taken care of great. And Annie, the minute we alter one comma off our Constitution, off that Declaration, that's where we end up exactly where we're saying. And I like Jesse telling us to be positive, but one of the big problems I think is that Barack Obama is their project. At birth, they held him up, and they knew he would be their man. And on Tuesday, it's mission accomplished. There is very little we can try to do. I mean, there is just – it's here. It's.
Now, can I ask the British guy, have you read Obamacare? Have you read it? Because I've read it. I've read all 2,700 pages. I'll talk to you about it when you read it. I read all 2,700 pages. There are things in there that have nothing to do with health care, first of all. There's still going to be 30 million uninsured people. The quality of our care is going to go in the toilet. The doctors are all going to quit, and our elderly, like in England, are going to die. You have serious scandals in England over the way your elderly are treated. And they get money for giving people comfort care instead of treating them at the end of their lives because it saves money. That's not American. We don't do that.
No, as a matter of fact, Bettina, you are correct, because just before they passed Obamacare, the last survivor of the Titanic passed away, and the British government cut off all care for her. For the last 2 years of her life, she had no care. Matter of fact, I believe it was Brad Pitt and someone else who went to England to help pay for her medical care.
We don't want your care. My ex-husband is British. And he tells me all the time, you don't want this. I mean, he got in a fight and got beat up to the point where his eye socket was popped and his eyeball came out. Mm-hmm. And they did a minor thing repair here in America. And then he went back. He was supposed to get it fixed. It took him 4.5 months to be seen. And because of the time that had passed, they couldn't fix it. So now he's deformed. I don't want your care. Sorry. We have the best health care in the world. That's why people from Canada and people from everywhere in the world came to America for our health care. We're destroying it for what? For what reason? It's going to kill my mother.
We've destroyed it because, as you said before, these people have been indoctrinated for so long. And
I wouldn't hold up Europe as any shining economy, by the way.
Nope.
We don't want the socialism from Europe. We don't want
I don't know that I played this on here, but I have another show. I saw on, it was ABC News, where they were showing the countries that are out of this so-called recession. Of course, we're not out of this recession, and we know it. But it actually said, these countries, instead of borrowing money, decided to cut government, cut taxes, and do this, are sinking even worse than those who borrowed a lot of money and grew government. And I thought, if this is just not pure indoctrination, and I mean, that's it, is that for every one of us on this show, you will find 15 people that think that Obamacare is going to be, they just have no clue. They're just...
Because they didn't read it. They don't know what's in it. I mean, we have to have the RISD chip.
Right.
There's a 3.5% tax on selling your house. There's a tax on tampons, condoms. There are people that have prosthetic feet, limbs. They're going to be taxed through the roof. Wheelchairs, crutches. It's going to hurt the most infirm of our country. The people that are already handicapped and crippled are going to have incredibly huge taxes on the fact that they have prosthetic feet and arms. I mean, there's no good in Obamacare. I've read every page of it. There is nothing in there. And by the way, it was passed by fraud. The Supreme Court has said that it's a tax. Well, it originated in the Senate. Tax bills can't originate in the Senate. They have to originate in the House. So on its face, it's unconstitutional now that they've ruled it's a tax. Not only that, but Obama threatened people. He bribed people. We had the Louisiana Purchase. We had Gatorade, the Cornhusker kickback. There were bribes in public. They weren't even hiding it. They were bribing people with $300 million for their state if they would sign on. There were Democrats that knew it would end their careers if they voted for it. And Obama strong-armed them and threatened them or bought it. That's not. We are not a crime machine. We are a country that obeys the laws and Constitution, and that's been thrown out. It's a horrible law. The Wall Street Journal called it the worst piece of legislation in American history. So all the people that want to come here and whine and piss, the people that want to give things away for free, that's not what Obamacare is. We already had everything for free. We had Medicare. We had Medicaid. That's not what Obamacare is.
No, I agree.
And by the way,
you.
Forcing Catholic doctors to perform abortions and forcing Catholic hospitals to give the morning after pill and perform abortions is so morally reprehensible and disgusting that I don't know my country. We don't do that here. We have a separation of church and state. We do not have people going and making people give abortions when they're Catholic. We don't do that.
No, I agree, Bettina. You have it so right. And there's other sections that people don't understand that there's area in there where they can come into your home and examine your home. If you don't have the foods they approve of, if you don't have certain items in your home that they approve of, you're in trouble. They also look at how your child is raised. They feel that your child is not being raised in the manner they feel is appropriate. They can remove your child. They can remove the child from you. You can lose your children. And people don't understand that.
People in other countries who never read the law, who don't know anything that goes on in America, who are completely clueless, who, by the way, watched their own countries fall to socialism and communism and politically corrupt crap. Look at London. My ex-husband calls me every day and said, you don't want what happened to us. You don't want it, because he loves America. He can't come here. He can't live here. He has to live in the UK. But he loves America so much. When we were married, when we lived together, he was so pro-America, and he tells me all the time, you are headed down the path we went down. You've got to stop. I don't see anything in Spain, in Greece. What is there to be proud of? Nothing. And we're headed right down the same path. Right down that path.
The problem is a lot of those people who are living in these places, they were born into it, so that's all they know. They think, wow, this really isn't bad. They don't understand how much better it can be. They just don't. It's a world of slowly but sure indoctrination. And if there's one person that's taking down this declaration and this constitution one at a time, he is now in office. It was coming down either way, but now they basically gave him the green light to take his lightsaber, and that's that.
Absolutely. And Thomas has one more question. Thomas is back in on the line with us. Thomas?
Hey, my comment, actually, it's a rhetorical question, what you guys already know. If Obamacare, and this is even to the guy from England, if he's still on, he wants to answer this question. If Obamacare was so good, tell me this question. One, why did all these companies get waivers from Obamacare? Two, why did the Obama administration exempt Muslims from it? And three, why did Congress exempt themselves from it?
You know, Obama doesn't have to live under Obamacare. Neither does one member of Congress or the Senate. They get their own health care. That's kind of interesting that we have to pay for their fancy health care, but we have to have rationing, and we have to have all these crazy, you know, you're 70. Do you know that if you're 70 years old, and this starts in December, if you're 70 years old and you go to the hospital, the emergency room, in the middle of the night with your kidney failing, they have to get approval to treat you. Now, the death panel, Kathleen Sebelius and her 15 people that were appointed in the stimulus bill, not in Obamacare, they were already there. If they're not there to approve the treatment in the middle of the night because they work 9 to 5, then the hospital is only allowed to give you comfort care. In other words, you get to die. And that's how they're going to treat our seniors. And during this whole election, Kathleen Sebelius and the HHS were touring the hospitals, training them on this, that starting in December, this is what's going to happen. You have to have, after 70, approval to have these treatments. So if you need a kidney transplant at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're out of luck. How about that for a great life?
Yeah, you got that right. Oh, my God. I could go on hours and hours about Obamacare. But Tina, we're down to our last 6 minutes in the show. This has gone so fast. It has been fun and fantastic. And I had fun refereeing between you and Cool Mike.
Hey, don't give up on the fight. We're gonna maybe something good will happen. Maybe who knows what. But don't give up the fight,
yeah,
girl.
I want you to know something. I'm going to tell you something really quick. I had to fly home to be with my mother because I was so upset. I was suicidal. And I came home. I'm in St. Louis with my mom. We went gambling last night at this casino because I was out of my mind. And I sat there, and I was playing video poker, and I was praying at the same time. I was like, God, you got to give me a sign that there's something good's going to come out of this. Something good has to come out of this. Because this is the worst experience of my life. I'm devastated. And at that very moment, I hit a royal flush for $4,000.
Oh,
I'm not kidding. There you go. So maybe there's a sign that we're going to be okay. I don't know. I would never give up the fight. I'm fighting forever. I think we just have to change how we fight.
Well, that's very true. And I have to agree. The problem is we don't want to get our hands dirty. And you know what? We're going to have to. It's not going to happen.
I agree. That's the point. That's the point. You're absolutely right.
It's simple. You know, do you think the Black Panthers take this stuff seriously, or you think they're joking? You know, it's the way it works. And revolutions, freedom isn't free. And if you make the decision to want freedom, you have to know we may not be around to see it, but there will be those who do appreciate it. And that's one of the things that's wrong. But anyway, let's toss it back to Annie as we wind down the show. It has been fun.
Bettina, I want to thank you for coming on. You know you're always welcome, and I swear next time I'll give you and Mike a pair of boxing gloves and let you two of you go at it.
You got it. Well, all right, we're all a little edgy. I apologize, but I am so angry right now. I've never been this angry in my life.
Apologize for nothing. Don't apologize for anything. Stand your ground, and you know if they don't like it, tough shit. Freedom isn't free.
I agree.
Okay. You know, thank you so much.
God bless.
Oh God.
$4,000, boy, what I could use with $4,000 about now. But anyway, Annie, it's been fun.
Yeah, we've had an absolutely fantastic show, and I just sat there while you and Bettina were going at it, just shaking my head. That's when I went ding, 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 ding. But it was great. We had a fantastic show, great information. I want to thank everyone that's in the chat room, and I want to welcome you to come back again on Tuesday. And looking at the calendar, I've got Stacy Swimp will be on with us as our guest on Tuesday. And I want to remind everyone and thank everyone for being such good listeners that got us to become a featured host here on BTR. We are number 6 out of 900 conservative shows, and that takes a lot of hard work and a lot of good listeners. So thank you, everyone out there. So until then, I want to remind you also that Monday is Veterans Day. Please don't forget to go out and thank a veteran somewhere. You know, buy them a drink, buy them their dinner, you shake their hand, or even just give them a simple thank you card. These men and women have been fighting for our freedom. We have to fight now for our freedom here on the home front. We've got 2 years to the midterm elections. It's time, guys, to hunker down and get really serious with the work. So until then, good night and God bless. Have a happy, safe, and healthy weekend.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.web.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American. American, American, American.